السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواه وتمنى على الله، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, we can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was this very month, this auspicious month of the Islamic calendar, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, wherein the famous verse of Quran was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The auspicious day, the auspicious place, and what a verse of Quran to put into perspective how fortunate we are that Allah has made us from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the day of Arafat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. That today I have perfected your deen for you, and I have completed my favor upon you, and I am happy and pleased with Islam to be your deen. Let us make it our daily habit to recite this dua: Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyya wa rasula. Even if you recite it once a day. To this effect, it is mentioned in the hadith that person who recites this dua with sincerity, inshallah, he will enter into Jannah. Many other virtues are mentioned as well. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but the topic at hand tonight is a topic which is close to every Muslim's heart. And the subject of Hajj is such a topic, such a subject, that when you just hear that a certain person is going for Hajj, you may not be that person who's going for Hajj. Maybe you never went before, maybe you're yearning to go, but just to listen to the news that somebody has been accepted for Hajj, wallahi, it is a special happiness that is created in the heart. The Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very special and a unique Hajj. And ulama have written many, many books, and a lot of things have been written with regards to the lessons that we take from Hajj. And ulama write very uniquely, they say that the lessons that are taken from Hajj, it's so beautiful that it would not be confined to only the person performing Hajj. That even the person who's not performing Hajj, so beautiful, simple lessons, that we can take it and hopefully inculcate it in our life, and they can be benefit to us as well. But really sincerely in our heart, let's make this dua tonight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Hajj maqbool, mabroor to all those brothers and sisters throughout the world that have embarked on this journey. Because really there's no journey like the journey of Hajj. May Allah take all of us over and over again. Those that are sitting here, if you've been for Hajj, you'll understand what I'm saying. And if you haven't been, may Allah take you very, very quickly. And may Allah give all of us the opportunity to visit the Baytullah. So I'm going to take you through a very short journey. And on there we will just mention a few things that the ulama write and they say. But before that, just a few important things with regards to these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. We learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, before I go there, the Imam so beautifully recited Surah Wal-Fajr. Wal-Fajri wa-layalin ashr. So many of the ulama, the mufassirin, explained that this opening verses of this particular surah makes reference to these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And we know in Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on something, many things, but one of the things ulama will tell us, that to show importance and to show value to something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very beautifully tells us that these days are so special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that virtuous deeds that are done on these days are extremely beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more beloved than deeds done on any other day. And the ulama write, they say, interestingly enough, these knights especially and these knights as well, they are very, very virtuous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to the nights of Laylatul Qadr, we have to search for it. But here we already know that these nights are virtuous. So at least this much, if we cannot spend some portion of the night in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least we make an endeavor, we make an effort to perform our salat of Fajr and our salat of Isha. Inshallah, we'll get the reward of spending the entire night in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we cannot do good, then at least don't do wrong. If a person can't do good, at least stay away from sin. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to these days as well, with regards to making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these days. And a very simple dhikr which we all know and we make often on these days. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. We're taking the name of Allah and we are acknowledging the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are words which are very, very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person acknowledges how great is the words Allahu Akbar. Just think about it for a moment. That the caller to Salah 5 times a day, how many times is he saying Allahu Akbar? When we perform Salah, the beginning of our Salah right till the end, we are saying Allah is the greatest. May Allah put the reality of these words in our heart. Khair. And if possible, we try and fast on these days. And the fasting of these days, the reward is equal to an entire year of fasting. And if a person can fast on the day of Arafat, then on that day it is mentioned in the hadith, whoever will fast on the day of Arafat, then his past and his future sins for an entire year will be forgiven. May Allah give us all the tawfiq to good deeds on these days, inshaAllah. Coming to the topic at hand, with regards to the lessons of Hajj. Brothers, this is a journey, whoever embarks it, whoever undertakes this journey of Hajj, I can tell you now, you'll never experience anything like it in your entire life. If you speak to those people who did Hajj maybe 50 years ago or 60 years ago, the older people, and they had to go via ship and sometimes 4 months at a time, and it was extremely difficult conditions, not like what we're experiencing now, and maybe the hotels and the haram wasn't as beautiful as it was now, meaning obviously it was always beautiful, but I mean in terms of the luxuries that we find there today. And if you have to ask that person, tell me, will you do it again? Guaranteed he'll tell you, I'll do it all over again under the same conditions as well. Because Allah Ta'ala has kept a very special sweetness in this ibadat. And what is the, you know, every ibadat has its own speciality. And what is the speciality of Hajj? When you go there, you'll experience it. 2 things, salam and ta'am. Feed the people and make salam. Feed the people and make salam. Greet the people. You meet people from different places, different countries, etc. Nevertheless, it's such a journey that every person's experience is somewhat different. And every person's experience is unique. Especially that first moment when you look at the Baytullah. Or that first moment when you stand in front of the Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For some, the tears cannot stop. For others, the mouth becomes dry. You know, you would have practiced with your muallim or you have practiced with your ustad or teacher or imam in your masjid so many times. What you're going to say, how you're going to say the salam, or what dua you're going to make when you come to the Baytullah. And suddenly you get there and everything is blank. You can't remember anything. You can't. Your tongue doesn't know what to say. There's no words coming on your tongue. Your mouth goes dry. That is the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the hearts of the believers. In the 13 Juz, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made a dua. That he said, O Allah, أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. That, O Allah, turn the hearts of some people towards the Baytullah. And the ulama, the first reading explained that the sum makes reference to people with iman. May Allah keep us with iman. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made a special dua for the people of iman, for their hearts to incline towards the Baytullah. And just look at it from a logical perspective. Every year we are hearing that the price of Hajj is escalating. Now, I'm not going into the politics of it and who's making money and who's not making. That's a different discussion. But with all of that, when you read the reports for this year, if you take this year in particular, it's something for us to think about. This year alone, I don't know, maybe there are Mama can tell us, or other people as well. But I don't think Hajj was ever at this price, ever. Unprecedented. But at the same time, they say currently there's never been crowds like you're experiencing today, currently in the Baytullah. Makkah hasn't seen crowds like this previously. What does this tell us? That the thirst and the desire for the Baytullah is still there and it will always be there. We as Muslims have to be positive. How many millions and millions of Muslims in the world? And when you listen to the stories of people and how they went for Hajj, that alone is inspiring. You get those people with their life saving. People who sold, you would hear of those ladies who would make, in our area maybe it was achar and papar, in this area maybe it is cook sisters or whatever it may be. But people's whole 30 and 40 years and maybe even more than that of life savings. And you'll ask everyone, they'll tell you, you know what, this is only a miracle. This is only something that only Allah can explain it. We can't tell you. I was putting 1 rand and 2 rand and 5 rand and 50 cents in a jar. That same jar today is taking me for Hajj. You can't explain it, because this is the journey of love. It's a journey of submission. So ulama say the first lesson that we get from this journey, that it takes us and it reminds us of death. And don't get scared. Generally when the ulama talk of death, Maaf, I don't know about this area, but I can tell you what. The Mawlana only talks of death. The Mawlana has got nothing else to talk about. But this is a reality. That's a reality. And it's good to speak about it, because Rasulullah said, "Tuhfatul mu'min al-maut." A believer, gift is his death. We're waiting to die because we're going to meet with Allah. You know that group of Sahaba, at once they were in jihad. So somebody mentioned, or the Amir of that particular battalion, he mentioned, he said, listen, he told the people that he was fighting, he said, who you want to fight against? I got people with me who love to die more than your people love to live. Some narrations, I got people with me who love to die more than your people love liquor. So death is something a believer waits for. The believer doesn't get scared for death. But ulama tell us that this journey of Hajj from the outset, from the beginning, gives us that insight into death. Why? The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when a person passes away, three things follow him. يَتْبَعُ الْمَيْتِ ثَلَاثٌ. Three things follow him. Two things return and one thing remains with him. So when a person is going for Hajj, generally you'll experience this probably if you're in Johannesburg or maybe in the Durban airport, I'm not sure here in PE. But the crowds of people that will come with him. Person is going for Hajj, everybody goes with him. It's like your janazah. When your janazah leaves your house, everybody is going with you. You know, you never speak to the man your whole life, but he passed away, now you're there for a janazah. I have to be there, be that as it may. Or you know, you never went to the man's house, but for a mashruf, people must see, you know, I was there for a janazah. Allah make it that we can have relationships with people, that even while they're living, we can acknowledge them, and even when they pass away also we can. So on the lighter side, you tell the people, you know, keep that WhatsApp message ready for me. When I die, just press click. Because suddenly you knew the man your whole life, but when he died, so many things in that message about how good he was, if only people could acknowledge it when he was living. But khair. So they say it gives you that lesson of death. Because you leave your home, and then you come to the airport, and then when you jump on that plane, it's just you and yourself. Because all those people that came with you, they're returning. So same, very similar to what's going to happen to you when you leave this world. And then they say it gives you the insight into akhirat. Because now you come to the passport officials, or you come to the... Now you know when you're traveling, and the person who has to stamp your passport, he must just look something there on the side. Nothing wrong with your passport. But already you start making zikr, you start making dua, ya Allah, everything was alright, yeah. So on the lighter side, so once you were traveling for Umrah, so the family was in front. And when they went, now this guy is taking so long, now you worry, you know, everything is right, what, you know. And even when they go through it and you come, suddenly, you know, the guy was busy with his cell phone, so shukr, there's nothing wrong with your passport or nothing wrong with your visa. And then now, as your bags and as your luggage is going through, you must just stop that conveyor belt a little bit. Already now your heart starts palpitating, you know, it mustn't be they're going to call my bag out. And then the ulama say that as you're going through those scanners, it gives us the reminder of what is to come on the day of Qiyamah. Allah says to us in the 16th juz, in kullu man fi samawati wal ardi illa ati ar-rahmani abda laqad ahsahum wa'addahum adda وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, every person will have to come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abdan, as a slave. Whatever titles you may have had in this world, but on that day, everyone is going to be equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا. The count of Allah is exceptionally perfect. That every single person will be accounted for. There will be not a single soul who will be able to escape the count of Allah. And Allah says, وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Every person on that day, he'll have to come and stand before Allah alone, one person. So as you're going through customs and as you're going through that, that gives us and takes us to the picture of what Qiyamah is going to be. May Allah make every one of us from those who will get hisabi yasira. Allahumma hasibna hisabi yasira. You know, many times when there's an argument, we see it, you ask the ulama, they'll tell you, two people are fighting. Say, Mawlana, leave him, I'll catch him on Qiyamah day. Think it's so easy. When you're standing there in front of Allah and Allah say, right by, come your hisab first, before we come to that man. Let's just start with the namaz. And then we go. So to say, I'll catch you Qiyamah day, that's a very easy thing to say. Rather, we make this dua, Allahumma hasibna hisabi yasira. Allah, give us an easy hisab. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala asked Rasulullah s.a.w. what is the easy hisab? Nabi s.a.w. said that on that day you'll come before Allah and Allah will say, go, everything is forgiven. Go, everything is forgiven. And brothers, it can take sometimes one thing. Sometimes just one action. If Allah is pleased with it, if Allah is happy with it, easy pass, easy through. You know, like you say, you come there, and then you come to the customs, or you come to a passport control, the man looked the other way for whatever reason, and you just got through. You say, Alhamdulillah, lucky you never see what I had in my bag. Shukr, and you just go through. Say the next important lesson, and probably the most important lesson of the entire journey of Hajj, is the lesson that we get just before going into the state of Ihram. So now you know, before you go into the state of Ihram, you'll don the actual Ihram, and I'm going to speak about that shortly. But when you go into the state of Ihram, to get into the state of Ihram, what do we recite? We recite the Talbiyah. It's a short, few words, but so voluminous in its meaning. What do we say? We say Labbaik. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Now don't get confused with the albaik, that's something else. Those who have been will understand what I'm talking about. But the albaik, that's something completely different. Labbaik, we are saying to Allah that, oh Allah, we are present. Oh Allah, we've left everything behind. Whatever it is, we've left it, and oh Allah, we've presented ourselves in your court. And then ulama say the most important lesson of our life, La sharika lak. Allah, you have absolutely no partners. Allah, you are exclusively alone in everything. Allah, you are most powerful. Ala lahul khalq wal amr. Ala lahul khalq wal amr. Tabarakallahu rabbul alameen. Allah, you in total control of everything. Everything belongs to you. Allah, you in control of this entire earth, this entire universe, what we know of, what we don't know of. Oh Allah, you in total control of everything. La sharika lak. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. We are saying that, oh Allah, all praises are exclusively only for you. You know, we perform Salat of Isha now. Every day we recite in the Salah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Just to digress a little bit, so we can appreciate what we are saying. This word hamd. Quran is so beautiful and so unique. Just one word hamd that we say every day in our Salah. It's such a unique word that ulama say, Inna Allah yuhibbul hamd. Allah loves this word hamd. We're praising Allah by saying hamd. You know why? It's so good, this word here, that one word has two meanings. Obviously, many more also. Alhamdu wa shukru lillah. By saying hamd, actually, you are thanking Allah and you are making shukr and showing your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're praising Allah and at the same time, you are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hamd is something which is very beloved to Allah. The one narration explains like this, that when the slave of Allah says this word hamd in praise of Allah, then this word hamd that the slave of Allah uttered is more better and more virtuous than the gift that Allah gave him for which he is saying Alhamdulillah. And then the ulama write this one thing, I'll mention this one point on this and then I'll move on from there. They say Allah used this word hamd, especially in Surah Al-Fatiha. Why? Actually, this word hamd, it's a noun. When it comes in Surah Al-Fatiha, it's in the position of a noun. If Allah so wanted, Allah could have used it as a verb. But Allah used it as a noun. Why? A verb requires somebody to do an action. Allah used it as a noun to give us this loud message every single day, every time we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, that our praising of Allah is for our benefit. Allah is not in need of our praise at all. Every time we praise and thank Allah, it is a benefit to us. It's not a benefit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is completely, completely independent of His entire creation. Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. This word kafara can mean disbelief. This word kafara can mean to show ingratitude. So Allah says, whoever disbelieves or whoever shows ingratitude to the favors of Allah, then let him know that Allah is independent of the entire alam, the entire universe. Allah is completely independent. So we are praising Allah. And we are saying to Allah, that oh Allah, every bounty and every favor is only from you. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ. And Allah, kingdom only belongs to you. Kingdom only belongs to you. It's not about rand and dollar, but who's selling the oil at this price, and which country is going to invade that. All of those things are happening as it will happen. The controller is Allah. Malik al-Mulk is Allah. Allah is in total control of everything. Who will be the leader? Who won't be the leader? Who will be the king? Who won't be the king? What the rand price will be? What the dollar price will be? Whether Russia will be on top or South Africa will be? All those things that we are seeing, this one sentence of talbiyah, this one statement of talbiyah gives the person of iman this understanding that Allah is in total control of everything. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكِ. Kingdom also belongs to Allah exclusively. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. O Allah, for you there is no partners. The third lesson, and I will conclude shortly, is this. That the ulama tell us that this entire journey is a journey of love and submission. Love for Allah and complete, complete submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you don the ihram, you tie the ihram, and then you come to the Baytullah. When you come to the Baytullah, you make tawaf of the Baytullah 7 times. And during this tawaf, you will make istilam of the Hajr-e Aswad. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he looked at the Hajr-e Aswad, he said, O Hajr-e Aswad, I know that you are just a mere stone. And had I not seen Rasulullah s.a.w. kissing you, I would have never kissed you. To show us and give us this important message, that all these acts of ibadah that we do in the Hajj, many a times or more often than not, will not even make logical sense to us, but because Allah has asked us to do it, we will do it. By virtue of example, you will come to Mina. You are there in Mina, 6 salah. You start Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr. So the 5 salah you'll be there, and the next morning you move on. There's nothing else to do in Mina. A Haji who decides, I won't go to Mina, I'll stay in Makkah, I'll maybe do 50 tawaf or 100 tawaf. Tawaf, the haram is very nice, it's very, very quiet. Later you'll tell him, by your logic is all upside down. You can do 1,000 tawaf also, it won't be equal to that man who's sleeping in Mina. Because that is the command of Allah that you have to be in Mina. If you go to tawaf, if you go to Arafat, and you say to yourself, look, the crowds are heavy now, I can't manage the crowds. The wukuf of Arafat is from after Zawal till Maghrib. By Maghrib, everybody will be gone. So what I'll do, I'll stay when everybody gone, I'll sit there in Arafat. I won't come now, I'll come only at that time. And I'll make whole night tahajjud. I'll read one rakat, whole Quran, next rakat, read another Quran. Everybody will tell him, bhai, be wukuf, admi, faulty, foolish person. Your whole standing in ibadah on the night also is worth equal to a zero. Because the wukuf of Arafat that Allah told us, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to us, is a particular time and a specific time. You'll go to Muzdalifah, and to do what you have to do at that time, that has been told to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, no, everybody's pelting now, today on the third, I won't pelt. I'll come after the 6th day when it's quiet, then I'll come to all my days. Everybody will tell him, bye, now you're being really foolish. So it's a journey of love and submission. Submit to the command and the will of Allah. And the love that you experience in the difficulty, like Rasulullah said a beautiful statement, he said, وَجَدْنَا خَيْرَ الْخَيْرِ فِي الْكُرْ. that we found the best of moments in those moments which were difficult. Now you're walking with the crowd and you're going with everybody. You know, when you leave for Hajj, you'll hear a statement, people say that when you're packing your bags, then pack few extra bags of sabr. It's an incorrect statement. Actually, brothers, we should pack hundreds and hundreds of bags of shukr. That just to be there, just to undertake the journey, just to set our foot on that very land, on that very earth that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on that piece of ground that Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam stood on, if only a person can understand how fortunate he is, or how fortunate we are that Allah ta'ala takes us to these beautiful places, then we will really and truly understand the value of that little moment that Allah ta'ala gives us to be on those places and those, you know, people will give their whole life, people will give whatever they have just for that one moment to stand in front of the Baytullah. And probably, importantly, the last point that I will make, that we learn from the ulama, they say that the greatest lesson we can take is the lesson of tolerance and the lesson of unity. That we are in a place where there's millions of people and every person probably speaks a different language. People have different tastes, people have different likes, people come from different backgrounds, people come from different scenarios and different situations. Yet every person on those 5 days has the exact same goal. And the hikmah that Allah tells us is that no matter who you are, no matter where you hail from, no matter what your position is, everyone will be equal before Allah, even in the clothing that you will don. You will wear that ihram, the 2 pieces of clothing you will wear. And nobody's going to look that day whether you're wearing a Versace ihram. Nowadays you get all of that also. Or what branded ihram you're wearing. Because by the 3rd day, on the lighter side, you have to even tell the people how to sit in ihram. Because sometimes the brothers open the legs a bit wide also, can become problematic, you know. So, the thing is this, brothers, just a bit on the lighter side, you know. The reality of the situation is Allah Ta'ala is showing us that this is a journey that to understand that there will be people of all different types, people of all different walks of life, people from different scenarios, but everyone's objective would be one, that how can I find my Allah through this journey? How can I connect to my Allah through this journey? Because Rasulullah ﷺ said that Hajjam Mabrura, the result of it is what? Jannah. Nothing else but Jannah. And it is mentioned that a person who gets this Hajjam Mabrura, he returns from there as if though he is a newborn baby. Meaning he's starting totally, completely new life. This is why we say, make dua Allah accept. Because when you meet the Haji also, to meet the Haji is a great act of ibadah as well. It is encouraged that when the Hujjaj come back to go and meet them, their duas are accepted. Ask Allah Ta'ala to ask them to make dua for us, dua on our behalf. And I will just end with this. Generally, in our scenario, in our situation, generally, more often than not, our South African Hujjaj, we will go to Madinah Munawwara first, generally. So we find that the lesson that we get from Madinah Munawwara is the lesson of perseverance. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all know what he went through in Makkah Mukarramah, 13 years of extreme difficulty. And then Nabi sallallahu went to Madinah Munawwara. And Madinah Munawwara is that very place from where the light of Nubuwwat spread in the entire world. That today you and I, our sitting here in this masjid tonight, is a manifestation of the great effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. The effort that they put in, and that Madinah Munawwara became the place of hidayat. That Islam deen spread from Madinah Munawwara. The people of Madinah, the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara opened their hearts. And it was on the occasion of Hajj. Prior to the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was on the occasion of Hajj that 6 young Ansaris came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they invited him, they come to Madinah Munawwara, we will make you our leader, we will make you our Amir. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, we'll see the next year. And the next year they came with 12 people. And then Musab bin Umair went there for 1 year. And with Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala. And then 70 of them came. And eventually Allah ta'ala gave permission to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make hijrat. And that is how Madinah Munawwara became the seat from where Islam spread to the entire world. So we go to Madinah Munawwara. Amongst the many, many things that we will get and lesson that we will take is the lesson of perseverance. That Rasulullah went through all of these difficulties. And whatever he went through today, the result of it, we can see in the entire world. There's not a place in the entire world that the message of Rasulullah has not reached. There was an occasion when he was comforting Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he said to her that, "Oh Fatima, don't cry. La tabki. A time is going to come. Don't look at your father's condition now and feel sad. Don't worry. A time is going to come when the message of your father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will reach every baked and unbaked home." And today we look in the world. We look in the world, these words of Rasulullah are manifest before our very eyes. So brothers, in a nutshell, in our short little discussion that we had tonight, the lesson is this, that make an effort to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life is short, we are today, we don't know where we'll be tomorrow. And I leave you with this parting advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to one sahabi, he said, probably this is a sunnah which outwardly would be the easiest to listen to, but probably the most difficult sunnah to make effort on. But if you make effort on it, there will be greatness for all of us. He said to this companion, he said, if you have the ability to go to bed at night and to wake up in the morning in such a condition, وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ فَفْعَلْ, that you have no ill in your heart for any person, then do so. Why? He said, وَهَذَا مِن سُنَّتِي. He said, what? وَهَذَا مِن سُنَّتِي. He said, this is from my sunnah. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. And whoever loves my sunnah, indeed he loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And whoever loves me, he will enjoy my companionship in Jannah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وبيدك الخير كله علانيته وسر لك الحمد بالإسلام ولك الحمد بالإيمان ولك الحمد بالقرآن لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Allah most merciful, Allah most kind, accept our short little sitting in the masjid tonight. Allah make every one of us from those who are your special slaves and servants, ya Allah. Allah make every one of us, our families, our children, our progenies, from those who will earn your mercy, for those who will earn your pleasure. Allah, and we beg of you in the trying times that we are facing in the whole world, keep us with iman, take us with iman, resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with iman. Allah, many of our brothers, sisters, friends, relatives have gone on this auspicious journey of Hajj. Allah, whichever Muslim is embarked on this journey, Allah, accept his Hajj. Grant all the Hujjaj Hajjam Mabrura wa Sa'yam Mashkura. And Allah, we beg of your mercy and your kindness, take us over and over to the Baytullah. Allah, take us to Medina Munawwara so that we can stand before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we can present our salam. And Allah, we beg of your mercy and kindness. Give us death in Medina Munawwara and at our resting place be Jannatul Baqi. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam bima hu ahnu. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillah.